Well, does that take picture too?
No,
it's just a conversation.
Yeah. Main thing I wanted for us to be able to see that little red light bubble.
Oh.
I guess one of the main things we're after, or the first things we'll be interested in, is something about your early life here in Ypsilanti, mm-hmm. and the life of, in Ypsilanti. Now, we already know your birthday.
Well, yes, it's all in there. My life mm-hmm. in Ypsilanti is all in that little book that the Historical yeah. Society sent me.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah, right there.
But you were born here?
Yeah, here in Superior Township, and that on Ridge Road.
Did you, and now I'm not too familiar with all of this. I read it, and then, but in this light, I may have to ask you to tell me some more about it. I haven't.
Yeah, well, that's what I want you to do. You mm-hmm. ask me the questions, and I'll answer.
All right. I see here where you went to Fowler School.
Yeah, right.
And that is, is that in the light of where, in Ypsilanti?
It's Superior Township.
That's still in Superior Township.
Superior Township.
And your father worked at, I see, the Flatiron Factory.
Well, that was after we moved into Ypsi.
Mm-hmm.
I was born out there on Ridge Road. And he was a tenant farmer. He never had a farm of his own. He was a tenant farmer. And in 1897, I think it was, they decided to move into Ypsi. And we lived at 5353 Forest Avenue. And we lived there 2 years. And his first job was at this Flatiron Factory. And he only got $9 a week. That's all they were paying, $9 a week. There was my brother was older than myself, and then me, and then Edith, the one that just passed here this year, and two younger ones, Harriet Wilmina and Ines May. They both died. Ines May died when she was two, and Miney died when she was five. Just before she started school, she died.
Was that generally about the average wage for people, especially for Negroes living in Ypsilanti at that time?
The average wage?
Wage, yes, the average salary.
I don't know.
You just don't remember.
I wouldn't know about that because, mm-hmm. you see, I was only about 8 years old. Then, see, and then during those 2 years that we lived on Forest Avenue, my mother did get some work, little work, you know, to do. That is domestic work, and then they bought over on Norris Street, where they lived and died. 722 Norris Street, lived there. But before they moved, I went to my first school here was the Fourth Ward School, which is now Adams School, mm-hmm. see. And I went there 2 years. Well, as I said, now, this is telling all this?
Yes, but I'll turn it when you want to.
Well, I just shut it off for a second. Mm-hmm. It's flickering, but don't stay on.
But it isn't. It was doing well. It
worked all right before. It's just.
Now it's going. Mm-hmm. I can tell by that little slow moving. That little slow moving thing there. Mm-hmm.
So we enrolled up there, and my sister enrolled in the first grade, but that was in a different building from what I was. I was in the training school, and she was in the normal, proper one. Her teacher's name was Miss Jackson, first grade teacher. But I started in the fourth grade, and my teacher's name was Miss Plunkett. That's all in there.
I can say that's all in here.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit here where I can. Yes, it's doing all right. If you don't mind, I'm more comfortable on the floor. That's where I sit at home most of the time.
And everybody, both the boys and the girls, when they started they put in added a room for, I don't know what you'd call it. Anyway, the boys did manual work, made things. And the girls had to do that too, because that's all there was. Then, finally, they put in a sewing room for the girls. And naturally, I was in that. That is in fourth grade. And I won first prize in the sewing class. There was one other colored in that class, but I won first prize for sewing. I did the most sewing and the neatest sewing for that contest. And then they put in, they finally put in cooking for the girls. And Mrs. Swain, who lived up here, I say up here, I'm thinking I'm on downtown.
Yeah.
Well, she lived on the corner, her parents lived on the corner of Forest Avenue and River Street, northeast corner. And there were twins. She had a twin sister. Well, she was our cooking teacher. And we learned a lot of the basic things, but, they made a few fancy dishes, but not very many. And then when I went out of the fourth grade, I went into the fifth grade, they didn't have that, But at that time, they were, we'd go in the morning, the teacher would we always had to read a chapter in the Bible. That was the first thing in the morning. And then we'd go on with the rest of the lessons, the rest of the schoolwork. I didn't put those things in there because, it's just too much.
Mm-hmm. No, but that's good. We think it's good to know.
Yeah.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. When did you become associated with Brown Chapel?
When I was 9 years old. But I don't know, for the life of me, I don't know when it was changed to Brown Chapel. Got to be Brown Chapel. It was just AME Church. See, that's all it was, just the AME Church. But when I finished the eighth grade up there, I never had to take the final test in spelling because I was always a good speller. My spelling average was 100.
Do you remember much about the, I'm trying to think now at the same time, much about the remodeling that they did at Brown Chapel in changing the way it looked?
Yeah, I knew all about it because I was right there. Mr. Marshall told me, when we were talking about it, he said that Bun Henry told him that, now this sounds ridiculous to me anyway, Bun Henry told him that this Brown Chapel, this building now, was built around the little old white church that we had, which was impossible. You have, there's a lot of groundwork that has to be done. The sewerage has to be put in, pipes and all that, before you can put up a building, That was done, had to be done before they could even put the wall around, bases, So I told him that, I said, that's wrong. So I said, and then another thing, she was only a little tiny girl. How'd she know? Huh?
Well, I don't know.
Well, she didn't know, that's all. And But Reverend Pettiford, when we first went over there, why, there was a Reverend Collins and his wife were here. They were very nice people. He was a great big portly man, you know, but they were very nice. And she was a little woman, like, oh, well, she was a little larger than Mrs. Peterson, but she talked a lot. Oh, my. But they were nice. And then when they left here, then Reverend Pettiford came, he and his wife, and they're the ones that built the church.
Did you, at that time, did you know anything about whether or not that was a possible station for the Underground Railroad? Did you hear anything about that concerning
our church? Well, we heard about it, but then that all happened before.
Yes.
For this.
But I guess I'm trying to ask you, but it was not necessarily associated with our church building down there,
no,
where it is
no,
now.
No, no, no. That church wasn't there. The first, when the beginning, was in a home, a private home, up on Cross Street.
Yes, we had heard that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, we had read about that. Yeah. And but somehow we had, well, I couldn't see how, but it could be, but somehow we had heard that our church was at one time a former station for the Underground Railroad, and I wondered if you had any information on that.
I don't have no information on that. Mm-hmm.
What did you do as a young person for, well, social life, social activities? You named some things here, but I thought maybe you might have remembered some other things that you
well,
did.
Well, there was Albert Anderson and his wife that lived, well, the house, the buildings are all torn down now, but he built a home, a nice home, on the corner of Washington Street and Harriet Street. It was a real nice home. The house was still there. They just tore it down this last year. And he and his wife lived there. And he, you know, I'll go to say something and then another thought will come in my mind and I lose what I was going
That's
to say.
That's all right. Take your time.
But anyway, oh, I know what I was going to say. You asked what we did for activities and everything. Well, there was about 8 of us girls that were about the same age, and we were together most of the time. Well, he organized a club of us girls, and we called ourselves the Rosebud Club. And that was under his direction. It's Albert Anderson.
Okay.
His name was Al Anderson. And everybody always remembered him, and, well, they sort of laughed at him because when he walked, this is the way he walked. Both feet going the same way. Instead of one this way, one that way, they were both going the same way. And they always had fun about that. You know? Of course, that was his way of walking.
Yes. What did you do in the club?
Well, we used to give, we worked for the church, see, worked in the church and for the church. And we would give, like when we'd get a new minister here, well, we'd get together and give a reception for him. We didn't have banquets then, we'd give a reception for him. And we did that for every minister that came while we were together. Of course, some of them, like Bessie Crosby. I don't know if there's anybody here now that was connected with her or any of her relation that you would know. I think they're all passed on. But anyway, Bessie was in that, and she had a sister, and she had 2 brothers. The Crosbys lived on South Hamilton Street. Which has all been torn out now, but anyway, that's where they live. And Bessie, was older than I was, but I don't know. She was in this group too, but she finally mad at each other. Because I'm going to give you the exact words that she said. she said that my sister was wearing a white man's hat. Well, that made me mad, and I, right out in front of the church, when soon service was over, I jumped on her. I did, because it made me mad. No, because that wasn't true. What we had, you see, and the reason that I quit school was because my parents were poor, and they couldn't afford to dress me like I liked to be dressed, because I always liked nice clothes, see. I had, you know, I looked decent when I went out, but I wanted some nicer clothes. And they couldn't afford to do that. So that's why when second year in high school, I quit. I dropped out. But when we had this, I had jumped on this girl, had this fight. Why, then that made her mad at us. And she finally got sick. She got TB. But before she died, and I used to go see her, before she died, she told her father that she wanted my sister and I, Mabel and Hazel Carter were in the group and had them, and Gladys and Francis Lyons, whose father was our minister at that time. See, that made six, didn't it? Four, six. Mm-hmm. Well, she wanted us to be her pallbearers. So we were her pallbearers when she was buried.
When did you pick up this yen for writing?
For writing?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. I used to write. This is long after I came back to Ipsy. See, I was away for about 15 years, you know. When I first married, I went out to Flat Rock. Well, I didn't, it was out in the country, and I'm not a country girl. I was born in the country, but the country left me. So, there was no place out there for me to go. It was all white people. No, his family was the only colored family out there. See, well, they were nice to me, but I'll tell you what one woman said. She once said, wondered after she got acquainted with me. She says, "How on earth did you get in that family?" Because they were people that never thought about going to church. They didn't know what it was to go to church. The children went to school until they could read and write and old enough to work, and then they quit, drop out, see. So I just couldn't take it. And then another thing, the mother-in-law, some mothers don't want their children, their sons, to get away from them. Well, she had 11, I think there were 11 children. Yes, there were 11 children. And the one that I married was the oldest one. His name was Walter. He was the oldest one. And she would, you know, you wouldn't object to your husband helping his mother. But she had two other, the brothers next to Walter, were big enough and old enough to work and earn money and take care of their mother, or help take care of their mother. But she would wait until she saw Walter come out of our house. We had our own house, which was on their property, see. She'd wait until she see him come out to go to work, because he worked every day down the tile yard, the bloody tile yard. And then she'd go out and meet him and tell him that she had to have 25-pound bag of flour or sugar and different things, you know. When she had these two other great big men, and they could have done that, she'd ask him, but she wouldn't ask him in front of me, see.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And I just got tired of that. So I just left out there.
What do you remember? And I noticed that you had some things here on where some of the outstanding buildings, other than you had in here, that Ypsilanti had, or stores.
Yeah, and hotels.
And hotels.
They had three hotels.
Mm-hmm. And was the Huron one of the early ones? What?
No. That was here. Oh, these others were all closed. Now there was the Hawkins, I got the name of it on there, but I forget, on Huron Street.
Yeah, that's the Occidental.
Occidental Hotel, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was the cook, head cook there was a Canadian, and I forget his name. I just don't remember his name now. But anyway, there was the Occidental Hotel. There was the Hawkins House, which is on Michigan Avenue. And the Lewis Hotel was down where Sam's Party Store is on the corner of River and Michigan Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Lewis House.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the night that that house burned, it burned down, a hotel burned down. Why, my mother and I and my sister dressed. We lived on Norris Street, way over on Norris Street. We dressed and walked down there because it lit up the whole city, you know, in such a big fire. And as I said in there, you'd think that there was an army around because the whiskey bottles that were stored in the basement just popped, you know. They got hot and they just popped. Made an awful noise. And then, the Huron Hotel wasn't built until years after that. And Dr. Dickerson was a colored doctor that we had here. He was our first colored doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Not Dixon, but Dickerson.
No, Dickerson.
Mm-hmm.
Was his wife the woman they buried from our church?
Yes, because his first wife, he divorced his first wife for Anna Harris.
Mm-hmm.
She roomed there. Mrs. Dickerson, she was a nice person. She told this girl, she knew that they were getting pretty thick, so she told this girl she'd have to move. Anna told her, if anybody goes, you'll go. Now that was the wife. Do you know what I'd have done? She wouldn't have been able to walk out of there. Mm-mm. In my own home and tell me that? Well, anyway, they separated. And she was divorced. And then after a while, why? And she married this Al Anderson that I told you about. That
oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. She married him and lived there after a while, you know. And then finally, Anna married Dr. Dickerson. And then she outlived him. And they had the first child that they had was a little boy, and he got burned by some hot coffee. They were sitting at the table, and I think the doctor, I don't think she, Anna wasn't, I mean, Mrs. Dickerson, well, Anna wasn't at the table, but in some way or other, Dr. Dickerson spilled this hot coffee on this boy, this baby. He was just, I guess maybe a year old. And he got burned so badly that he died. Then, after a while, old Dr. Dickerson was around for a long time, because I remember I was working in Ann Arbor for a family, and this woman went away, and I was cleaning. I was doing domestic work, you know, cleaning, or day work. And I said, domestic work sounds a little bit better than day work. So I was cleaning a bedroom floor upstairs, and I run a sliver under my thumbnail. Oh, it was way down. And it hurt so bad, you know, and it was so hurt. So when the woman, her name was Howell, Mrs. Howell, came home, why, I told it to her. So she said, well, when you go home, I had to get off of the streetcars was running then, not buses, streetcar. I had to get off at where the old high school, at that corner, and then walk down to Forest Avenue and up Forest Avenue to Norris Street, to my home, see, where I live. And she said, well, when you go down, you get off of there, because Dr. Dickerson's, he had a private hospital right across the street from that old high school. So she said, when you get off of the bus, you go right to the doctor and have him take that out. and send the bill to me. So I did, and they had told me before that. I had all heard that he drank some, you know. So I said, well, I'm going to watch him. Keep my eye on what he's doing, you know. So I did, and he fixed it all, so it came out all right.
What other professional people do you remember, Negroes especially, who maybe practiced law or medicine or had grocery stores or something like that here in Ypsilanti?
Well, the only ones that had the grocery store that I remember were the Washingtons. That's Tommy Washington's husband's brothers, he and his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
They had a grocery store down on Harriet Street, the corner. Well, not near the, and I don't think it was right on the corner, but it was near the corner of Hamilton and Harriet, southeast corner of Hamilton and Harriet. And then there was a Thomas Rodman that had a, he was a musician. He had a band here. Oh, he was a man that was built like who that you would know? I don't know, but he was big, but he wasn't too tall. And he had this band. Now, as far as anything else, I don't think there was any. These Washingtons had the grocery store, but
yeah.
I don't remember any other business, colored business.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. There was Sam Travis had a barber shop much later.
Yeah, well.
On Washington Street.
About what you said much later, about what time would that have been? In the early 1900s? Well, it had, oh yes.
Oh, no, much later.
Yeah, things they have to be much later.
Because
than that.
John's son used to hang around there when he had TB, and he was out to Howell in the sanatorium for, he was out there, I guess. I know he was out there a year, maybe longer than that. And during that time, they sent him into the university hospital to have his ribs taken out. He had all the ribs on one side taken out. Well, after that, he couldn't work. He couldn't do any work. So he used to go down there and maybe he'd do errands or something other. And during that time, I was writing a society column for the Pittsburgh Courier. I did that until over. I don't know how many years I did that.
You can't give us some years for that. That sounds so nice.
Well, I can write, but I can't talk. Really, a lot of things that I could write about, but I couldn't talk and tell it. You know, I can't get up in front of anybody and talk and say a word. Like Sunday, somebody said after service, well, you should have said thank you. I said, I did say thank you, but they didn't hear me.
Just the way some of us are.
Yeah, I've had a pretty interesting life, but, just here and there. And then, you see, my mother's brothers, well, as I said in there, all the colored people that lived in Ypsilanti at that time came from Canada. See, they didn't come from the South, they came from Canada. Mm-hmm. Some of them came here, now like the Kersey family. George Kersey and Jim Kersey worked on that church when it was being built. Well, they both came from Canada, but they were younger and they had their families here, see. And they came over here because there was nothing to do over in Canada and they could take care of their families better here, make a better living for their mm-hmm. families, let's say that. Than they could over there. Just same to the people from way down south now, in Mississippi and Georgia and Alabama and all those places. Those people came up here. They just flopped up here when Henry Ford started paying $5 a day for labor.
I remember.
And I had my feelings hurt so many times, but I just overlook it because they don't know what they're talking about. Now, my cousin in Detroit, she said that the people in Ypsilanti never bought any homes until the people from the South came up here. Well, that's not true, because the Curtises came over here. Everybody came over here from Canada. See, they were all Canadians. And I can name all of them. There was the Jones, the Curtises, and I don't know how many more. But anyway, they're all dead, see. Mm-hmm. But some of their descendants, like the Curtises, now Nina, you know Nina.
Yes.
Well, she's descendant from Jim Kersey.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Kersey and his wife was a Canadian too. They had, they had three, four boys. I think they had four boys and one girl. And the girl got TB and she died when she was about, 12, 14 years old, something like that.
Was that in addition to Ms. Nina Williams?
Yeah, Nina's brother's child.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then George Kersey, he bought a lot of land down on 2nd Avenue from Frederick, south of Frederick, and built a house. The house is torn down now, but he built a whole house there. And he and his wife raised their family there. Well, he bought land, all that land where, that man that was in the council. What was his name? I think the house is still standing there. Well, anyway, Mr. Washington lives right at the end of Frederick Street.
Yeah.
That's where he bought. Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Kersey bought the land south of that. And he bought so much that when his children grew up and married, he would give them a lot to build a home on. And he had so much they could call it Kerseyville. They did. They called it Kerseyville.
That's interesting. I had not heard that one.
Yeah. And then he bought they lived on the east side of 2nd Avenue, but then he bought from that to the corner of Frederick, too. And he gave Irene a lot. He gave Charlotte a lot. Charlotte was the older one. Marie lived next door to him Marie was older. She lived next door to him, the home, on 2nd Avenue.
Let me get, were they George's daughters?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he had two sons, too. And the oldest son, he learned to be an electrician. And the youngest one, what is his name? Can't think of his name as well as I know him, because my husband, I got him to get my husband blood transfusion. And I can't think of his name, can't call his name. But anyway, he only had his home on, I think it was on Madison or Monroe, I forget just which.
Well, you're remembering a lot here. Let's see if I had anything else down here I wanted to ask you. I don't know whether I asked you or not. Then, your family did not come from Canada.
My mother did.
Your mother came from
Canada. She was born and raised in Canada. My father was born and raised in Indiana. And his parents were Indian. I mean, his grandmother was a full-blooded Indian. But when his mother died, he was 5 years old. when his father died, he was 7 years old. But foster, he had foster parents that raised him until he was, well, till they passed. And he was 7 years old then. Well, he never talked about his family because he was too young to know, to remember anything see, about him. So he never talked. I don't know anything about him, only that, what I have said about his people. But my mother had there was 11 in her family. And Uncle Jim, her oldest brother, came over here. He settled in Detroit. Well, he married, and then eventually, in time, he moved out here to Ypsilanti and lived up on River Street near the cemetery. And my mother came over here, and then she lived with him. Then finally she got a job to work where the Gilbert residence is now.
Yeah.
Well, that was owned by Mrs. Swift, Mr. and Mrs. Swift, and they had two sons and one daughter. The oldest son's name was Newton Swift. The youngest son's name was Fred Swift. Of course, they were men. You know, young
yeah.
men, young mm-hmm. when she went there to work. She worked for them when she was 18 years old, see. Well, then in time they married, but the sister never did marry. Her name was Hattie Swift. She never did marry. And my mother worked for them, I guess, until she got married, I guess. I don't know. But she never told us how she met my father or when or anything about it. Never did. Oh, I can't. I don't know anything about that.
Well, that would have been interesting too, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But the Uncle Jim, well, Uncle Will, another brother of my mother's, came over here, and he stayed with us for a while because on Norris Street because he was sick, wasn't well, and then he finally went back to Canada and he passed, and then Uncle Walter was the next oldest. He settled in Detroit. Married and had a family, and the next one was Uncle John. He settled in Detroit, and he married and lived on Lumley, but they only had one little boy, and he died when he was, I don't know how old he was about two or three years old, something like that. He died, but they never had any more. And then Uncle George, he settled in Cleveland. He went to Cleveland and he married. But she was a peculiar sort of person. She was nice, but she was kind of peculiar. We went at that time and before that, why my mother's sisters and brothers, she had one sister the oldest sister stayed in Canada. She never did come over here. She had a lot of children, a lot of girls, but they eventually came on over here. And they were all, my uncles and this one aunt were all Masonically inclined, you know, and had.
I was looking at that certificate up there.
This is her. She's the one that came out here and set up the Crusaders, Heron of Templars Crusade Guild. That was her youngest sister.
And her name was Laura.
Yes, Laura. She married a man by the name of Walker, Laura Walker, and she had a hotel in Detroit. And finally, later he died, and then she married another man by the name of Smitherman.
Now, I'm going to be sure. She was what relation to you?
An aunt, my mother's younger sister.
She was your mother's sister.
Mm-hmm. I had a half-sister that had this niece that was here, and she raised this girl, raised this niece. So all she knew was just, she called her mama, because that's all she knew. Oh, this is one of my mother's brothers.
How they set so firm.
Yes.
Pride.
Then I got a picture of Uncle Walter somewhere here. And this is a picture of my sister, the one that died just here this year. This is a picture of the family reunion when we were in Detroit one year. After all of the brothers and sisters passed, then they quit having the family reunion. Because the younger ones, they didn't, wasn't interested, you know.
Mm-hmm.